You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey friends, welcome to another episode. This is episode number 10, interviewing another host, actually a former coworker of mine. We're going to check out his renovated 100-year-old barn. This is a don't want to miss episode. Welcome to our episode of Thanks for Visiting. We are with our hosts this evening, Elliot and Lauren. We are so excited. We're staying in their barn in Granville, Ohio, and we're going to let them take it away and explain a little bit about this barn that's in the back of their property. So, Elliot, Lauren, welcome. We're excited to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for being out here in our barn.
Tell us your story. So, was the barn always here? Did you always know you wanted to do this someday when you purchased the property? Like, what's that whole
journey? Yeah, Elliot sure did.
Yeah, definitely.
So, how long do you own the main house? There's a main house here.
There's a main house here. Yeah,
that is not on Airbnb.
That's
right. Just the barn.
Correct.
So,
that's right.
You've been living there first. Let's let our listeners know that this
totally.
Is the back of the
Yeah, we moved house. In here in 2015, right after we got married. And when we first saw the property, there's a house that's sort of on the front part of the property. We can maybe, you know, upload some sort of image of how like the lot looks. And then there's this barn that's on the back corner of the property. And so the barn, the house is from 1879, and the barn is also over 100 years old.
Oh.
And it has been, it was just being used as really storage prior to us being in here. So somebody around 2003 had taken it from being just a traditional dirt floor horse barn and had brought out electricity and had made it into like a usable garage space, but then didn't end up using it and sold it to the next tenants who just use it as storage. So when we saw it for the first time, and we can send you some sort of before photos.
Yeah.
It was just like, it's a totally fresh canvas that was essentially set up as a garage full of spider webs. Yeah, there were upstairs tension cables. So like the barn could sway back and forth. And, you know, this sort of barn is like pretty, it's not abnormal for this area where we are. It's pretty rural outside of Columbus here in Granville, but most people have either torn them down or converted them to, you know, to be garages for cars and that sort of thing. And we just wanted to take this amazing barn that was sitting in our backyard and try to convert it and make it a livable space for primarily for our family and friends. But then with that, the opportunity to be able to bring people in that from all over the place that are coming into Denison University or just visiting Granville or wanting to get out of Columbus or some other, you know, sort of staycation-y spot or something like that. Just have a nice week in our sort of Norman Rockwellian town. So
love it. So did you start construction on the barn in 2015 or did you do some like main house stuff and then kind of have this on the back burner per se? How did that go?
Main house. It needed everything like painting, all the light fixtures. It just needed like a,
so this was a dream in the backyard.
Yeah.
You would like,
that's where we
at.
Lived. Yeah. Like, so like, so we were like, this there. Could just sit there.
Yes. Yeah. So really, when you moved in, there was no thoughts of like, this is going to be a revenue generator for our family or maybe help with our mortgage? Or was that anywhere, when you were purchasing the property, did you have any vision for this barn at
all?
To make
you money.
Yeah.
100%. 100% vision for this barn being renovated and used for our family and friends. I mean, not necessarily 100%. To be able to use it as sort of like a side hustle, revenue generating property, primarily because we are in a historic village and we didn't know, you know, where the sort of jury lay on how you could be able to rent these sorts of properties and that sort of thing. over the course of time us being here since 2015, there have been a handful of other Airbnbs within the area. There's not really, you know, it seems to be something that can be done within the area. It's, you know, it seems to be popular with people locally within the university here, as well with people that are coming in town. And so, you know, we are just riding this wave that so many of us are and trying to be able to, you know, bring people in. So
did you find that journey of like figuring out what the legalities are of doing this to be difficult, or were they, was your town pretty welcoming to do that? How did that all play out? Because that's what everyone who is not yet a host is like, but right now it's a hot topic. So what is your feeling on that?
I mean, it was, we spent during that whole period of time all before the renovation of the barn, we were like looking into it, talking to people without necessarily trying to talk to certain people that might be like,
right,
you know,
under the radar a little bit.
We didn't think it would fly.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we really didn't. And ended up just getting to know some folks in the area, from like the most liberal personality on this sort of thing to like the most buttoned up sort of person on this thing, and really got similar advice. And it seemed like the jury was sort of out. And so rather than wait for a town to, you know, be able to create formalized rules on this sort of thing, we're just sort of rolling with it at the moment.
And we also realized our neighbor up the street is renting out a room in their house. So we were like,
there's a Denison professor a couple blocks away renting out their whole house. There's, you know, there's people within the area that are doing it. And so, I mean, for us, we're not, it's not the primary goal for us from like a, it's truly a side hustle. It's a side hustle for the reason that we really wanted to be able to create a cool space to be able to share with people, primarily our family and friends first, but then it was, you know, other folks that would want to visit the area. And I mean, there are some really great inns that are here, the Granville Inn and the Buxton Inn. And there's some places where you could be able to stay, and maybe 9 out of 10 people would want to stay there. But 1 out of 10 people would see this barn from the late 1800s that is totally historically preserved on the exterior and modernized on the interior as being like a really awesome place to stay. I know that I would feel that way. So we wanted to just sort of offer that potential for people that wanted to come and visit Granville to have the option.
For our listeners, Lauren and Elliot are pretty new hosts. They just started hosting in 2018. And what have you seen thus far? Are the people that are renting out your barn? What do you, have you noticed a trend at all, or are they parents from the university? I know you, Elliot, mentioned some photo shoots.
Cool. Yes, okay. It started with parents from Denison, and then we got some random people, and they had like the aesthetic of the people. It's been all over the board.
Cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And then we have a local photographer who's been using it, and she. So that's been great.
Okay.
And
like lifestyle shoots
family. A lot of holiday cards. Been a lot of like family shoots. I mean, like especially going into winter when, you know, outdoors becomes a little bit less of an option, or maybe a more cumbersome option for some families. It's just been like a really unique and reliable space that's not necessarily for her clients. Feeling like it's just in their house or something like that. But, and then she could know the space, know when the lighting is at a particular sort of thing, give that sort of country vibe from the outside while a very modern vibe from the inside. So offer some options for kids and parents.
So I have questions about that. Because Annette and I were talking about this recently, because one of her Airbnbs just got booked by a pretty big corporation. Do you treat photo shoot? Do you book the photographer through the Airbnb platform, or do you do that separately? Is it a separate like business, quote unquote?
Or we've been handling it separately, primarily just because it's a unique scenario. I mean, they're wanting to come in, maybe bring in several different families, or be able to do that for multiple hours. I mean,
but I guess we could do it through Airbnb. We're just doing an hourly rate, so we didn't really honestly know how to do it.
But through the Airbnb platform, I mean, we could, you know, send a special offer or something like that. And we've looked into doing that, and that would be, I think, fine with the photographers that have booked that too. But it's like we could also try to do it all.
We have a baby here.
Airbnb baby Bex. So, you know, it just has been a convenient way to do it via text last minute. And we don't want those sort of hourly sessions to take, you know, the place of being able to book it and offer that sort of overnight experience. So the arrangements that we have, we would shift people to a date where we wouldn't be booked or something like that. And that's typically fine for the photographer in that regard. Yeah. But there have been actually several photographers that have reached out, primarily via our just direct to us on Instagram, where we've created like our own profile for the barn, just to be able to show photo and video of it throughout the seasons and the different spaces so that people can sort of visualize their visit. Yeah. And there have been a lot of photographers that have reached out via that, both photographers that want to commercialize it with families, as well as photographers that just have wanted to photograph it because it's sort of a unique barn space for their portfolio.
For sure. And how are they finding you on Instagram? Do you think, are you using specific hashtags, or do you think it's your geotags? How are photographers finding your space? Because I know a lot of Airbnb hosts have beautiful spaces. They want to do what you're doing. How are these photographers finding you exactly? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that up to this point, like, we are definitely no experts. Like, if you look on our, you know, Airbnb or our Instagram account for this barn, I mean, we have 400 or 500 followers at the moment. That's, we just started
good.
Helping
you pretty quickly. Yeah, you just started. Yeah.
That's actually pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's good.
We've definitely, well, good then. That sounds good.
No,
but
it
I mean,
is. It's impressive.
We've been, really, we've been utilizing hashtags and geotags. So some people have come in that way. But at the same time, like, some of the hashtags that you would use aren't necessarily attracting the people that would be your potential clients or customers or renters, I guess would be the real word. But, you know, because if you're using a hashtag that's like barn renovation or something like that, these people, you know, people could be anywhere around the world. Or if it's like Scandinavian, you know, kitchen, something like that, it's not necessarily going to pull in people that are here or in this area that would be potential renters, but it has been a nice way to be able to then also find other people that have done similar design styles or things like that, and just increasing awareness and that sort of thing. But we have done some geotags, you know, tagging things that are local, like, you know, hashtag Granville, Ohio, or something like that, or a utilizing some sort of Ohio travel popular Instagram hashtags, you know, to be able to explore Ohio or something like that, where people are looking at those feeds for sort of places where they could go and travel.
But you did the paid advertising too, right?
Oh, true. You did.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Yes.
How often do you do it? Did you
that's genius. No, let's share with our listeners.
We'll,
it's genius.
We'll give you the explicit details.
Yeah, so please.
We've run three campaigns.
Okay.
All just via Instagram, but it has to go through Facebook's platform.
Mm-hmm. So when you were just about to delete your Facebook
account. Truly. Like, couldn't delete Facebook because it's like the only way. Well, you actually can now on Instagram, as you guys probably know, just promote posts and be able to do that. But the analytics
it's
are way less advanced. So what we did, though, and I we haven't done it again.
No.
We did three campaigns, $20 for each campaign.
Love it.
And we utilized to be able to have some, like, controls with the variables. I mean, we used the same same exact images. It was like a, what would you call a Instagram, like, multiple photo thing. I'm blanking on the name. Like
like a carousel.
A reel?
Carousel. Yeah. It was like a carousel of images. They all started the exact same way. So the photos are, I mean, it shows the outside of our barn from multiple angles. It shows several of the inside rooms across different lighting. Just would give you a sense of what the space feels like across different times of day and different seasons. And some of those photos are also on our just our Airbnb listing. But then what we did is we targeted specific demographics with that we wanted to see, you know, sort of test the engagement levels for being able to show the same carousel to all of these groups. So those groups were people who followed Denison but lived in major metropolitan areas that were between.
Really
yeah, this is your audience.
And we've actually had people reach out and be able to say, like, hey, I just got back from visiting my family, my son at Denison, and this came up. That's sort of crazy, but at the same time, I'm really interested in your space. So, you know, and I responded, and they reached out via email in that case, but we've also have direct messages. And I responded, I said, definitely creepy, because it's totally creepy. Like, it really is, but it's also a tool that gets, you know, it's exactly
it's
what
not, it's what
that person
what you
wanted,
yeah.
you know? So in that case, it could be both creepy and what they wanted, you know? So what I explained was, you know, I know that's a little creepy, but what we were, I mean, I was very transparent about it because I don't want there to be any sort of weird sort of marketing angle on it. But I mean, yeah, we spent $20 on three different campaigns, but the campaign, one of the campaigns was, I mean, just being very explicit, like 30-year-old to maybe 55-year-old men and women that are in these set metropolitan areas that are following Denison University or some other sort of things there. Because really, like, what we would love from like a target demographic would be to cater to the families and the visiting professors and the parents of professors from other countries, whatever, what have you, that are coming into this area and they're staying for, you know, a longer stay or staying a recurring stay. Maybe they're parents of, you know, lacrosse players for the team.
Right. And they're coming in for the next 4 years. Exactly. And that's like a dream.
Totally.
That's
repeat clients, repeat guests.
Right.
Yeah. Guys.
Right.
That's, because once you see the space and you're in this town, I mean, you're going to come back. Like, it's like, it's totally, but it's a very visual space.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then we did one that was like 18 to 22 year olds residing within Granville, which, you know, would presumably be Denison students, because some of the, I wish you could actually get, I wish I could find people that follow you, you know, that are
you
within
want to
a
get
particular.
Creepier?
Right. Yeah, I mean, but really, I just want to get more targeted.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really what it is.
Hyper,
but like,
hard,
just getting,
hyper
target. But we weren't sure if like the students would tell the parents about this place or not. But you want to
you know
them.
What? I think that's a smart thing to do, though, because they see it. You just never know where that lead is going to come from.
The students care where the parents stay. We don't know.
And to see their engagement and to see how they engage to a carousel of images that's showing up in their feed might be more so than maybe a parent that is coming to Instagram after coming to Facebook or after coming to something else. But Instagram's so visual that the only the reason we wanted that to be a control is that really suits our space more so than Facebook.
Well, so now I have two other really big questions that I need to know. How many direct bookings did you get from these $20 posts? Any?
We've had just where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up shop essentially in September. I think we've had one booking from those posts, but we opened up shop in September. I mean, one booking for those posts, though,
it's
based on our nightly rate
exactly.
when we're spending $60 is a conversion that's worth it. And I think that we really want to do it primarily to test it, and we actually weren't going for conversion. So you can go for these multiple layers within analytics. We were going for building our audience.
Awareness.
I mean, because really, like, it's a very difficult thing to be able to have a conversion on an Airbnb account, like where somebody sees it today and wants to book it tomorrow. It's more like we want this to be front of mind when they're coming in town the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the Denison students, when we were going to the 18, and I want to go back to your question, but like for the 18 to 22 year olds, like, it was, we want this to be on their radar so that when their parents are thinking about coming to visit and they might be like asking their kids for a place,
the Buxton
they're like,
I
saw this awesome barn that's local,
barn.
Or like, oh man, there's this Instagrammable like neon sign inside that says this must be the place. Like, let's go to this cool space because I've never seen it here locally and it could be a really cool place for me to visit as a student. Like, you know, like not even thinking about necessarily the parents, not to say that in a callous way, but like just trying to think about how it might come up.
That's
and then the third group that we targeted, and I'm happy to go back to your question, but the third group that we targeted were people within like a 30 to 50 age demographic that live in within like a radius of Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, and Cleveland, and really hitting the hashtags of like Explore Ohio and these different things locally that would be like wanting to do a staycation. Maybe they're searching for Hocking Hills or searching for hiking, and rather than going to Hocking Hills, we might be able to come up and actually satisfy what they'd be looking for, which is like finding this quintessentially New England town in Ohio that has really great topography where you can go hiking. You can also go to the bar, and you can also stay in this awesome historic and also modernized space.
And with the Denison, people that follow Denison, weren't you able to capture, like, most people live in Chicago or New York or...
Oh, wow, alumni, too. Your alumni market could be huge.
Totally. So I was trying all of those. Our engagement was actually pretty similar. I mean, I could show you a screenshot because I'm not, like, trying to be proprietary about anything, but, like... I wish that there, maybe out of this, there will be something that comes where somebody could really read into the analytics better than we could. I mean, you can see sort of the spend versus the click and the people that followed us and that sort of thing. But really, I mean, the reason that we haven't done it more is it's still very difficult to sort of read exactly what it is that we would want to be able to do there. So this was more of just like a test to know what sort of engagement we got from these demographics paired with other marketing tools that we're trying to use to be able to like get on the radar of other people that might be trying to come out here.
That's why the question is like, Airbnb is essentially a marketing tool, right? It's like a platform where now people can get on board and share their spaces, where before Airbnb, you could have a regular bed and breakfast, but their marketing platforms were either you have a website and you do all this. So what made you think like that? Like, I think it's just so smart that you weren't just thinking about that immediate conversion, but you're like, I just want to be on people's minds. Whereas if you're searching on Airbnb, I mean, number one, the optimization within the Airbnb platform is, I mean, Airnet and I talk about it all the time. It's hard to keep up. So like, I love that you thought about other ways to optimize your listing and like market outside
of just Airbnb.
Right.
No,
even though Airbnb is a marketing platform. Right? I just think it's smart.
Well,
and I think
I guess this is Elliot's third baby.
I think it's fair to say, like, we need to let our listeners know, like, Elliot does have a career in the digital world. So this is kind of, it's second, like, you're hip to that, you know, you're not like,
but
you
it's
understand
such a great lesson for people who aren't.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah and I've never,
it just
never
seems like another tool that's out there that is like totally up to the people that own the property to be able to control and be able to get it out there. And really, like, I mean, at its core, I'm just speaking for me personally, but maybe Lauren feels the same way. I just don't want to speak for you. Like, the revenue aspect of this is cool, but really, like, I think what's cool for us is, like, we've got this really unique space that's here that if I was traveling someplace, I would love to come across a place like this and to stay in a place like this. It's just like, and I think that for us, like, we love to travel. We love to go to these different spots, and it's like, the opportunity that we've had to be able to put like our fingerprints on a place that is ours that we can share with other people is it's something that I love. I don't know that everybody feels that way or not, but
no,
like,
we've been Sarah and I with Thanks for Visiting, we've been talking about like what our message is, and it's like it's this elevated reciprocity. Like if that guest has an amazing time, they don't understand. It makes our hearts so full. Like, we are so excited for them to have a great experience. And it doesn't even have to be in our place.
No.
It's like, they got to watch their son and daughter graduate or win that lacrosse game or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, you are fueled by their experience.
Sure.
And you don't even have to be directly, you know, you don't have to be a part of it. It's like, you're on the fringe.
Yeah, we're not, like, trying to insert ourselves into, I mean, and which I can imagine, like, if you're hearing, I've been talking a lot, but, like, you might think I'm trying to insert myself into other people's business. I've been really like drawing a line in the sand for that. And it's something that like Lauren and I have talked about. Like we try to make this place as warm and inviting as possible and we'll engage with the people that stay here as much as they want to, but that's their option. I mean, we've laid out our option. Like this is your, you know, like we've put a canvas out there that people can engage with. And if they want to engage with us more as hosts, who live on the property, but definitely very separately. I mean, it's a very private space.
But like the first time I did have to calm you down because if you couldn't tell, Elliot's very outgoing.
I'm like,
they're out there. Should I go say something?
And that's like been something that, yeah, we definitely had to draw that line. Like, I don't want to.
That's a debate. Actually, that's a great segue because it's a huge debate within Airbnb of like, do I have to greet every guest?
Right.
Do people want to be greet and stuff? So what's great?
Do they not?
It's great now. You can kind of ask them like, I'm on property if you would like to meet me, but if not, you can access the property yourself. Yep. And so I think just because there are people that
and we
like
do self-check in like that, and we've just made ourselves available if there are issues or things, but we've tried to make it so
choose
that you could just come and go
answer,
without
yeah.
interacting with us at all. Mm-hmm. We didn't even, I mean, you know, we already talked about our baby Bex being here. The night that Bex was born, there was somebody staying in this place. They had no idea that we were here or not. Yeah.
Right.
Because we laid the groundwork for that, and it was like this hilarious thing to our families who were like, of course you have somebody staying.
Yeah.
And of course that's happening.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, but that's what you want, right? Like you want to place it. And so we do self-check-in. Unfortunately, Airbnb doesn't give us the best option for self-check-in the way that we do it. I mean, we live in a super safe area. Mm. We do, you know, we could have a lockbox with instructions and we were thinking about doing that, but like we can also leave the door unlocked for you, put the key right on the counter, mm-hmm. and then you could use the key to come and go as you please during your stay. But that's not like a self-selection option because that doesn't work in New York. That doesn't work in Chicago. And that's primarily where, you know, the volume of Airbnb listings are. So,
well, but, you know, it's so crazy because there's been a few write-ups recently about, like, the most profitable places to have Airbnbs. And it's not New York or San Francisco. It was one of the places was Akron, Ohio.
Really?
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Just, like, a unique destination?
Well, it's, like, the cost of living is so low. So most mortgages are actually pretty right? So within three or four nights of Airbnb income helps people in these places, like, pay a whole month's mortgage. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just, it's interesting that, like, yes, it may have started out in San Fran or New York, but it's helping
it's
people
penetrating
everywhere.
All markets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, I wish all of our listeners could, like, be here because the design is...
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the design.
...is unbelievable. We'll have all the links, but it's swoon-worthy. It's, like, I want to, like, live here.
Elliot said this already, but you have an Instagrammable moment.
Yes.
And I think even if you are a normal home in a normal neighborhood, you feel very normal. If you can make some space in your home Instagrammable, can you, like, talk about yours? Little moment that you have on your stairs, like where did that come from, and how did it? What was it?
It's my favorite song.
Okay,
Talking Heads. This must be the place.
Okay,
takes me back to college. That's what it's from.
That's what's from. Lauren has always loved that, and so you know.
So it's custom. That's custom.
Yeah, it's custom.
We wanted to be unsigned. We were like, "What should this say?"
You know, it says so much, and it's like, you know, we found somebody locally too, just totally locally.
Yeah.
To be able to do that, and we could be able to post that person's information as well.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, their thing going on, but and we had lots of options for it, but we had a friend who's a graphic designer who just, like, laid it out for us, and we sent that over to this person. They were able to put it together, and it wasn't like a particularly expensive piece either, but it is one that, like, has I don't know. I guess a lot of it communicates a lot, which is cool.
Yeah.
So we did do that. It's a neon sign. It's something that's on trend.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there are other, you know, spaces that we've tried to create within the place that are also Instagrammable, whether it's like taking, you know, a primary wall within our sort of lower level and being able to bleach that wood so that it has a very unique sort of Scandinavian vibe. And then, like, pairing that with some of the furniture that's in here that, you know,
adorable.
To be able to. Yeah. I mean, actually the fridge piece, like, I mean, to that point, there was the professional photographer who was in here the other day, and I would never have thought of this at all, but she had, like, these two kids that were both under 10 years old, and they're, like, sharing this moment in front of this, like, turquoise fridge that's right there, and it looked really cute.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, that's cool. Or even outside of it. I mean, we did our own Christmas card for our, you know, holiday card for our family this year was in front of our barn, and it was just... You know, because it's this blend of old and new that just is a unique backdrop. So hopefully there are many places that feel Instagrammable, but that has been a spot that people who have come and stayed here without any sort of prompting and then tagging the barn or something like that in their own posts has sort of risen to the top of this thing that they're like, you know, check it out.
Yeah. So did you have...
Our keychain says this must be the place. So we tried to, like, our Wi-Fi
your branding.
Network
yeah, your
is
Wi-Fi.
This
yeah,
must be the place. I mean, this must be the place. If you don't know the song, it's an amazing song that will always put you in a good vibe. But, like, this must be the place itself is just, like, such a great message and felt like it tied our own personal lives to this place that we love.
Oh, I love it.
That's a good story.
No.
See? But you can do that. You don't have to. Like, your space is beautiful. I think people they get stopped in the normalcy, I guess, of some of their spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a lot of hosts, like, my space just isn't special. But, I mean, a neon sign.
In some places, you don't need it to be special.
No.
I mean, you have volume.
Right.
You've got all sorts of things. I mean, we live in a place where, I mean, right now, if you look, we've been up and going since, like, September. It is now December. We've probably had, I think, maybe like 11 or 12 people come and stay. Some have stayed for more than one night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have people that are already booked recurring, which is great. And we have bookings into next year, particularly around timelines.
Graduation,
yeah. Commencement. Yep. Big Red weekend, which is like your, you know, sort of alumni weekend, that sort of thing. And then some other times, like a parent of a athletic student from Denison is coming in at a particular time, that sort of thing. But so we have had some bookings there, but we haven't been booked at a high volume yet. And I'd love to pick y'all's brain on like pricing and that sort of thing too.
Which
would be a cool thing to talk about.
Choose your pricing on like
for the moment we have. And that's been, I mean, it's worked out fine for us. I mean, our goal is not necessarily yet to be like booked every day, although we have taken the steps that I think would allow us to scale it to that. We have like a Denison student who is coming and has the ability to come and clean the space.
Oh, wow. How did you find your co-host?
We found her through Denison. We have a lot of friends. I mean, Denison University is here locally, a couple thousand students. It's two blocks away. Our location, I mean, it's a hilly town that we live in. We're like pretty, you know, there's a highway that's a little bit south of us. Mm-hmm. There are roads that head, you know, sort of north of town that are different sort of like thoroughfare routes. But like we're kind of landlocked, I would say, without having water. Mm-hmm. And we're right in the center of it. I mean, we're a block away from the main town here in Granville, from the bars, the restaurants, that sort of thing, and a block away from Denison. And so for us, I mean, you touched on it earlier, but like Denison alumni and students seem like the best avenue for us to like focus our marketing, because it's a private university. It attracts people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And people, I mean, it's a higher income university as well. I mean, people aren't coming, you know, it's like, you know, between $40,000 and $50,000 a year. So if you're thinking about parents that might be coming in, like probably money isn't as much of a concern. Not that it's really our primary driver, but it just seems like the best vehicle from a marketing perspective.
But so we did look at Granville and we were like, well, maybe we can charge the same.
Yeah.
But I think we're too
okay,
high
so you
right
looked
now.
At the Granville Inn, because we suggest to our to anyone that we chat with, like, look at a commercial place in your town that's actually sanctioned as a hotel. Look what their nightly rate is. Look when their busy season is. Try to mirror that in the beginning. And also, you know,
if your
what's
goal
comfortable
is,
for you?
If your goal is having a lot of people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Depending on what kind of occupancy you want, too. Because my thing is, like, so I have one bedrooms in the downtown-ish area of Columbus. And so my goal is to beat the hotel prices. For me, people who look at Airbnb, they want to feel like they're getting a deal.
Yeah.
But they're getting something personal and like they're helping a family out.
Yeah.
Totally.
So if you look at those prices and then try to beat it a little bit and then play with your occupancy. Mm-hmm. And then I both agree that if you're at 100%, you're probably too cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are at 50 to 70, you're probably a little too pricey.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What do you think about like the Airbnb pricing, you know,
smart pricing.
Yeah, smart pricing.
We're not fans.
Not fans.
It does.
But just because it puts your price too cheap, or does it?
I think, and I hope that Airbnb, their goal is to have.
Airbnb loves this.
They make their money.
They
make their money.
Cool.
But how often you're
100% off.
Right.
Yeah.
So the more often you're booked, the better it is for the platform. So this has not been proven, but obviously Airbnb has their own algorithm.
Yeah.
On their page.
Sure.
And so I've opened up a few Airbnbs and I do smart pricing at first until I get my
first
one.
Just to build your audience.
Yeah.
And then
I switched to a third party pricer.
There
is Beyond Pricing.
I just use Beyond Pricing, but there are more platforms now and that was actually educating me. So they're more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
But Beyond Pricing will use the same technology that hotels use.
Huh.
And you pay them 1% each month of your
revenue.
It seems like super easy.
So,
but they'll help you. I don't know how that would work. I mean, I love that. Like, that sounds awesome. I don't know how that would work out here where there's
so few.
There are established hotels in this town for Denison University again.
Right.
But like outside of that, there are like 10, you know, or 15 Airbnbs.
Right.
And you can go to a nearby town and hit their hotels, or you can go to Columbus and hit like the wealth of hotels. So
I would play with it. Like, just since you're new, so you've got, you know, 3 or 4 months of revenue, and then you could try
smart pricing,
and you could try Beyond Pricing, and then over your year.
Yeah.
But
I'm curious, do you think if by going by smart pricing, does that boost your algorithm even further? I venture to guess that.
I have a very strict, like, I will not go below this price just because it's
right. We think it brings a certain type of
guess. It's just like, I'm like, they're $75 a night. Like, it's not even, it's not worth it for me. So I kind of have
worth it to clean after.
Yeah. I have it set. I have my own boundaries that I set. So this is for all of our listeners. You can at least view what the smart pricing is for every day on your calendar and pick and choose. And I will actually admit sometimes smart pricing is higher than me. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's very interesting. Sure. So if it's ever higher, I'm like, yeah,
sure. All right, that's smart pricing. Sounds great.
But then I kind of just watch. And even if it's like close to my base, like where I won't go lower than, I'll still say, like, if it's like $2, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go all the way there. I'm going to keep my standards where they're at. So
yeah,
the pricing game, I'm going to call it that because I feel like it's this constant game of like how many people are listing, what do you have versus your other. But I think that's what's amazing also is we can choose that. That's how it's built. And it's like, what's the price that I want? How often do I want to be booked? And you know, I want my place to be booked all the time. You have a family. It's like, hey, if we're booked X amount of time, that's what we want, you know? So that's what I think is...
It's personal for sure.
It's very personal pricing. And I love that it's allowed to be that way. And there's tools out there if you want to use them. Mm-hmm. If you don't, I have some friends who are like, look, actually, I put my own place up personally for a long time. I was like, hey, if someone wants to come and stay for this rate and a minimum, bring it on. I'm out of here. Like, I'll go sleep on a friend's couch. But I do like that's set there, but
we're going to be changing ours up. I mean, right now just, we've had, I think 11 or 12 reviews. They've all been 5 stars. Yep. And I think that the next evaluation for, I don't know, Superhost, it's coming up. I didn't know that they didn't just do that on a rolling basis, but I think I read some sort of notification that's coming up on like January 2nd.
Yep. Yeah.
So we will move into, from what I've seen,
Superhost
status. Oh, yeah, you need to have that once you're Superhost.
Yeah,
you need
But that. There are only 12 or 15 places locally. So, I mean, hopefully it will boost us within like the wider radius.
Yeah, first screen either.
Yeah, you're right. We're like on page 2 because we're so new. Yeah. So that'll be great. But it sounds like that's going to happen in early January, which is great. And we want to continue that. But our occupancy, like we definitely feel like, I mean, I love it when I'm at work and I get like this random notification from Airbnb. I'm doing my main job and then I'm getting somebody that's wanting to stay at this other thing.
Oh,
and
it's that's like, the best.
You know, not even that we're,
you feel like a boss.
It's just cool. It just feels like I feel super productive when that's happening.
Anybody can share in that same.
Yeah. Thing. So, and we don't get that feeling enough. We get it. And it's great, but I don't, I mean, I guess I'm speaking again for myself.
I don't get any social media notifications, but I do get Airbnb and I feel the same way when that
pops up. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But I think winter is going to be super slow.
So it should be a little slower.
Right. Yeah. And especially here, parents aren't really visiting.
And it's cold. We're in Ohio.
Yeah, it's not the prettiest time of year to visit. But we are going to lower it. I mean, we're going
to
do that.
Something to take note for you and our listeners is, I don't know if you've done this yet, but you can put different discounts in place. So if someone wants to stay for a week, you can give a 5% discount. If someone wants to stay for a month, you can give 25%. You know, what makes sense for you. And sometimes adding those discounts will boost your listing too. And so I always encourage, and I don't
know.
Game. Yeah, it's a game. Well, and my thing is too, like, update your listing. I don't care if every day you go in and just change it by $1.
Interesting.
Pay attention to your listing. Airbnb, I think, again, this is all what my theories, but they want to see a host that is engaged and is active on their listing. So I will
I've never heard that.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Advice.
So go in.
And I looked. I mean, we were looking.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but to me, like, hey, I want someone that's paying attention. Like, I don't want people that are asleep at the wheel.
No. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, every time I go in and I tweak it by dollars, all of a sudden, ding, you've got a booking.
And I mean, we're doing that already from Instagram, so why couldn't you just do the same thing?
Change what
I... And that's what a third-party pricing I like, too, because if it changes your account, what they call a heartbeat or a pulse.
Yeah.
It automates that for you, so you don't even have to...
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
1%, and it's only off a commission for
and
booking.
And that's saying other third-party pricing is cheaper.
Yes.
Let's get these advertisers.
But again, as our advice to you is, as a host, update your listing, whether it's changing your bio or adding a picture or changing your price. Again, Sarah, that was a great, I've never even heard of that. Like, give your listing a heartbeat. I'm like, hey, they're there.
That's
they're
awesome.
Paying attention. They're not asleep at the wheel.
Because we're like, this place is, I mean, we did the work here.
Right.
Like, it's here. We found a person who can be able to clean it. You know, it's supporting a Denison student that wants to be able to, you know, put some cash in their own pocket.
Yep.
So it's like win-win across all things. So really the day-to-day of it, I mean, you know, we have multiple sets of the things that we need. Yeah, sheets, towels, all those sort of things. So we've got all of those things so that we can just plug and play really at this point. So it's like, well, we've already created the template. Let's optimize it a little bit more. The thing that's interesting though about pricing is like, you know, the pricing is, I mean, it's like selling a house. It's really set by like what is within the market nearby.
The market?
And so we've done some exploratory things with the local places, and we're not necessarily just trying to beat them out. I really think that our place is so unique that really it's just, we want the people to stay here that want to stay here.
Yes,
so we're not like just trying to like, oh, we're a few bucks cheaper than this for a person that wants to stay in a hotel, because like, our place might not be for everybody, and we're cool with that. But like, we want to make sure that it's at least in the ballpark,
right?
You know, for the people that are like, well, this is pretty much one to one. You know, like at least if I was going to stay there versus the inn, like they're not like penny picking, you know, or something like that. So toward that end, I mean, I think that we feel like, you know, we have a standalone 2-story house. So if you're thinking about it just with that lens, you could charge more for it than the one room that you can be able to get in the inn or hotel nearby. But if the inn and the hotel nearby are the popular choice and they also offer these other services and they're priced at this, like, then really we're priced at least in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. And where we started at a price point that was what we thought within those sort of blinders you could just get for the place, which is fine and has resulted in good things. But we're going to be trending that down just because it's really not that much effort for us to
be able to, and
it's nice to be able to have more occupants.
Well,
I mean, 50%, I mean, that would pay our mortgage.
So
that would
pay more, and that's not even the goal,
but that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. With the money that you've made thus far, have you done anything with it? Is there a plan for it? Like, what, like, as a couple, as a family, like, what do you even talk about? It's like, what happens with that money?
Okay
if you don't have
it. We're not raking it in, but we have talked about using it as fun money. Like,
vacation.
Let's go on a trip.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I want a new elliptical.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've actually, I mean, speaking of elliptical, like there is a space in our yard. We've built these, and we could show other photos of. So this was a storage space. This was the garage. This was the basement, effectively.
Yeah.
So we built two structures on our property that...
Beautiful structures.
Thanks. I mean, beautiful structures, we think they're beautiful too. I mean, they look like, people are like, is that a pool changing room? Is that a sauna?
Yeah,
totally. And we designed it to look that way. But I mean, if you open that thing up, there's pegboard in there. There's a backpack blower. There's a lawnmower. There's like, it's all the things that were in this space because we need a place for that. We have another sort of spot within the area that we're actually thinking about building a another shed, but a larger one that has the same sort of like pitch as the other one, but a larger one that would be able to have our bikes in there. I mean, we have two kids, you know, it's like some of our kids' toys, that sort of thing, and then an elliptical so that like we have space. But then also, I mean, that would be something that we would be open to extending to guests because we're not in there using an elliptical all the time. I mean, I'd love to say that we are, but it's like maybe there's 30 minutes once every few days. So I think that that would really attract even more people who are listening. And on top of that, I should mention, we also have a pool in our backyard, and we... have actually, we've not shown the pool in any photos within our Airbnb listing. Not because we're not willing to share that space with our guests, because actually I think that that could be an amazing place to share with our guests, but we're not looking for that to be sort of the lead draw that somebody would be coming out listing for, because I don't think that that's necessarily, I mean, we're, you know, we're in our 30s, we have two kids, we want, we're in our mid 30s, we have two kids. We're not like,
it's not going to be a relaxing pool experience.
We're not trying to be able to have like the, you know, Las Vegas day party outside, you know, like that's just not what we're at in life. So we'd love for that to be case by case bonus. And like, how great of an experience would you have as a renter if you come and you didn't even know that there was a pool right here and you have this amazing experience in addition to the barn, to being able to go in that space for a certain number of hours or something like
it's
that.
It's a surprise and delight.
Yeah, like surprise and delight. Totally. Sure.
Absolutely.
I want to take us into our fire round. Mm-hmm. But before I do have one last piece of advice for you guys that was big for me.
Yeah.
Once you do hit Superhost, do not lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not cancel. How
do you not? Do not cancel.
Educate us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what are sort of like the key areas we could lose it?
Canceling a guest. Unless, so now Airbnb has a... like a catastrophic situation that will now they'll now allow for cancellations, but to apply for it and for them to accept it is like huge. But like once you become Superhost,
what, like we're having our kid tonight?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, one thing
we might have had cover.
Yeah. Okay. This is current. And so
we didn't cancel.
Just
and you're getting cancel. You had a child, I'm gonna cancel.
If you cancel, this is huge. Currently, if you cancel, you are not eligible for Superhost status for an entire year.
Whoa.
Dang.
So they are very, and I agree with them though, because that's the worst thing is someone trying to check in.
Oh, yeah, you plan. I mean,
so Superhost is like once you get that, really keep it in your zone to keep that going.
Okay, so we have some quick questions, and this is just like, I think what every new host or every host kind of wants to know what other hosts are doing. So we would love your
quick response.
Yeah, your quick response. Okay. So what's the one thing in your life that has changed for the better since becoming an Airbnb host?
Being able to share this amazing place where we live with other people, I think is awesome. Like, I mean, we moved out here very consciously. We live right near Columbus, Ohio, which, you know, even for your listeners that might think of it as a flyover state, I mean, it's like the 16th largest city in the U.S. It's a very populous area.
Yeah.
You know, people come into town all the time. Would never know that this place is here. I mean, this place looks like a New England town was dropped in the middle of Ohio.
Very cute.
So it's really cool to be able to share that experience with other people.
Yeah. I love it. No, that's a great answer. Right. What's the most complimented aspect of your listing and why? So when people stay in your space and then they review or they talk to you in person, like what's the one thing they really love?
I think just the design, right?
The interior design.
Yeah.
They just love the uniqueness. I mean, I can't wait for listeners to look at the pictures because it's, it's epic.
I mean, we've done some drone photography as well. I don't know if you, but like, trying to be able to show it at night and show it at, during the day and then show where we are in proximity to where Denison is. I mean, I'm sure that your listeners know somebody at this point that has a drone or something like that. Like, I definitely think the engagement that we've seen on Instagram has been really cool from that. And just like, for me, if I'm thinking about it objectively, being able to see like where this is actually located is a pretty cool thing. So.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think investing in professional photography and like drone photography.
All of our photos on our site are from our phones. I mean, just for what it's worth. I mean,
but not the drone. Like the drone.
Not the drone thing,
really
but like all of our listing photos and everything like that. I mean, you've got
iPhone
10? Cameras.
What is it?
But yeah,
the
there
lighting
you go.
Is also pretty spectacular.
We've taken photos at all different times of day though, and try to be able to like show it at all those elements because I mean, and hopefully listeners will see this. Like, we have some pretty unique design elements in this place, like including these polycarbonate panels that we use to enclose the staircase on the lower level.
Yes.
And by day, they might just look like sort of translucent panels that are letting in some light, which is awesome for plant growing or awesome for other things. But at night, they're, you know, they essentially act as something that from the inside, you don't see it. But if you go outside, the light just carries through the whole thing like some other. And so if you look at it at night, like it looks like an extremely contemporary barn versus this 100-year-old plus barn. So showing your space at like different times, I think is cool. I don't know that we've had lots of bookings because of that, but I think like personally, it's a really cool looking.
I mean, mean, and I think people might check in different times of day. So that's why I kind of do night photos and day photos, because mm-hmm. you want to know what they look, you know, because a lot of people are like, where am I going? How am I getting there? Yeah. It's kind of an adventure, but it's also like they want to get inside.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any, other than the Airbnb app, do you have any other apps that you are using right now to help you run your space or how you communicate with your co-host or tell, let her know that there's cleanings? How do you do all, any of that communication?
No, just text messaging.
Well, actually, I have a Google Doc that I use with her, but she also babysits.
That's so for the person that we work with from a cleaning
for the cleaning.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Nice.
So she'll know if she's coming Tuesday. Oh, I also have to clean the barn, but it's just a Google Doc.
Oh, nice. But you're using Google apps.
Yeah,
sure.
Google's an app. I love it. Do you? I know you guys are still new, but do you have a hosting hack yet that you would want to share with other hosts? Anything that you found that's made like your job
easier, or you know your guests are like, that's like, that made my life easier for your guests too.
Man, that's interesting.
I might tell you what your hack is.
Yeah, tell us what your hack is.
So as a guest,
it's not you know, something we've been thinking about consciously. We've tried to offer some surprise and delight, like sort of elements for guests, but
Elliot and Lauren do send, they're very detailed. So I think your hack is not leaving anything to question. So there's a welcome PDF that they send via email.
Definitely.
When you check in, there is a welcome letter.
There is a binder.
Yeah. So I think their hack is being detail oriented. So they aren't answering questions that might arise. So whether you know
which
that
we're happy to do, but you know, I think that for anybody that's booking a space, like, if I'm going to be a guest and just putting on a guest hat, like, I'd love to know I'd love to have the option to know everything about the listing.
Right.
I mean, I actually, one of the things I like about Airbnb is being kind of surprised about some of those things too. So like, maybe selectively you don't want that, but we want to at least put it out there so that people aren't, you know, blindsided by anything.
I love it. What's your favorite amenity that you offer? I know what my favorite amenity that you offer is, but I'm going to let you answer the question.
I think the beer flight.
Yeah,
right?
The beer flight.
Yeah, the beer flight.
Well, it's not something we've advertised, but we do have a beer flight that we offer. And we have a interesting looking fridge that's in the space. And you'll see photos of it. It's turquoise in a bleached out room. So it definitely stands out. And, you know, Lauren and I both enjoy drinking beer. So there are no issues with that. We'll be transparent about that. And there are amazing beers in Ohio. And while we're not affiliated with a particular brewery, there are amazing breweries nearby. So if you're coming to visit this area as sort of a surprise and delight thing, we
try to do local.
We include, we have 4 local beers in the fridge for all of our guests. And it's something that, like, actually we've talked to other Airbnb folks and they've been like, don't leave a bottle of wine because then you'll get a review and then the people that are coming will expect it. And then they'll maybe leave you a bad review if you don't have it. And we've heard that. But I think, like, you know, we're buying 6-packs ourselves. What's peeling
one
off
beer.
One
yeah.
beer
yeah,
to
yeah.
be able to put there? Right. And then we had received a gift, a very nice gift of essentially a beer tasting flight for 4 beers. And you can write with chalk right there. And so we include that there, and we include that in our letter to people who are arriving, that if they'd like, and while we're by no means forcing beer upon people, there are these great local beers and we change them up seasonally. So, you know, you'd get like a fall beer, you'd get a winter beer or something like that. And then you can be able to write in chalk on this particular flight tab if you want to with yourself or with yourself and a guest to be able to have this fun sort of Ohio beer experience. So
in this gorgeous space.
Well done.
Yeah.
If you want.
Last question. What's the most interesting thing someone has left behind in your Airbnb? Anything interesting yet?
No. We get boring stuff.
It's going to come. It's
going to
come. Okay.
No, we're too new.
No,
okay.
That's fine. Maybe we'll circle back.
Pizza boxes with full pizzas.
Oh,
What do you do with that? No, I'm not having it.
Well, this has been an awesome episode. I think there was some learning from both parts taking place, but you guys can find this amazing space on Instagram at the Granville Barn.
And we'll link their listing.
We'll link all this
in the notes.
Our blog, we're going to have photos because we just want to share as much as possible of Lauren and Elliot's space for sure. So we want to thank you so much for letting us visit.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks, y'all. Yeah, seriously. It's awesome that you're here. It's very cool. Sweet. The first time doing something like this. So oh, it's cool that we got your eyes.
See, you're hosting. It just continues mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. So
the giving.
It's the gateway. Yeah. The giving keeps going. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.